Let's start with that first reading, the book of Exodus. And just a quick recap of salvation history to catch us up to where we are beginning in this first reading from the book of Exodus. So remember, the Israelites had gone to Egypt years earlier. There had been a famine, and Egypt was like the only place in the world that had food. So they had all gone to Egypt to get food, and then they stayed there, and they just populated the area and really became quite numerous. And remember, Pharaoh at one point kind of was talking to his advisors and said, you know, these Israelites are becoming pretty numerous, and they're about to outnumber us, and if we ever had a problem, if we ever went to war, you know, they might fight for the other side. We need to do something to keep them under control. And so what was Pharaoh's approach? Enslave them all. So Pharaoh enslaved all the Israelites in Egypt, right? And then remember, they cried out to God, and God raised up Moses. And remember, Moses went out to Pharaoh, and remember there was that whole, you guys remember from the musical, "Let my people go," right? So Moses went to Pharaoh and was like, let him out of slavery. And Pharaoh was like, not happening. And Moses then talked to God, and God was like, he'll let you go. And he called down these different plagues on Egypt. Remember that? The rivers turned to blood, and there was that darkness that covered the land, and the frogs and everything, right? And the last plague was God went through, God's angel of death went through Egypt and killed the firstborn son of every family, including the animals. Firstborn male of every single family, all the way up to the royal family. And remember, this is where the Jewish feast Passover comes from. God had told the Israelites in Egypt, he said, get a lamb and kill it and take its blood and put it on the doorpost of your house. And when the angel of death sees the blood on your doorpost, he will pass over your house. That's where the Feast of Passover came from. So he didn't kill the firstborn of the Israelites who were in Egypt, but he killed the firstborn of everyone else in Egypt. And that was the final plague that caused Pharaoh to say to Moses, okay, fine, you can take him out. Leave. So Moses is leading the Israelites out of slavery, out of Egypt, to the promised land. They're going to return to their promised land. But they have to go through the desert to get there. And that's where this reading today picks up. They're in the desert, and they're getting kind of thirsty. Now, let's ask ourselves, do we really think that God, who had pulled them out of slavery, was going to let them die in the desert? No. I think it's a safe assumption that God would have made sure that they were fed and that they had enough water. Now, God didn't say that they were going to be totally comfortable, but God said, I'm pulling you out of slavery and bringing you to the promised land where the rivers will run with, you know, milk and honey, and it'll be a wonderful place, right? But they're getting a little uncomfortable. And what do they say to Moses in that first reading? Listen carefully. Why did you, this is them complaining to Moses, why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock? And so Moses brings their complaint to the Lord, and the Lord has them hit the rock, and water comes out of the rock. But can you imagine that? They start complaining to Moses, why did you make us leave Egypt? If I were Moses, I'd have been like, hold up. I had some training in Southeast D.C. One of my favorite parish assignments was Southeast D.C., so I get a little snappy. I'd have been like, hold up. I'd have been like, why did I make you leave Egypt? I'd have been like, how about, why did you start crying out to the Lord about being oppressed in slavery? And then he decided to raise me up, and I almost got killed going to Pharaoh to bring you guys out of Egypt. And they totally forget that they were enslaved. They totally forget that God is in the middle of doing them a favor. God is in the middle of bringing them to the promised land. They've totally forgotten that. And why? Because they're a little thirsty. They're a little thirsty. They're a little uncomfortable. And they're thinking back to their days in Egypt. They kind of forget about the slavery, and all they remember is, oh, well, we had, you know, three hots and a cot, right? Three meals and a nice place to live. Yeah, we were in slavery, but we don't really remember too much of that. We just remember that all of our creature comforts were met. We were pretty comfortable on a bodily level. We certainly had enough water to drink. And they totally forget the fact that, well, you were enslaved. God has pulled you out of that, and you start complaining because you're a little thirsty. How easy is it, brothers and sisters, for all of us, and I include myself in this because the devil screws with me all the time, and he does, this is a big temptation for me, is, and I bet for some of you as well, how often does he remind us of our prior life in which perhaps we were enslaved to sin? Right? Now, I was baptized Catholic as a baby, but my family wasn't at all practicing, didn't go to church, not even Christmas and Easter. But thank God, my parents knew enough to have me baptized, and I'm sure that that grace that I received as a baby at baptism was what was working on me. So I had my own conversion experience in high school, but I remember, and the devil will often tempt me, remember what it was like before that, when you could do what you wanted, when you wanted, how you wanted, with whom you wanted, right? There was no sense of the fact that that was slavery. It was just, yeah, but all your bodily comforts, all your creature comforts were met. Because that's what sin is. It's a type of slavery, isn't it? It's a type of slavery. We don't think of it that way, but that's what it is. It's a type of slavery to things that are objectively good, right? People can be addicted, enslaved to food, right? Food is a good thing, but we can become addicted to it. Alcohol, how easy can we get addicted to it? And instead of enjoying it as it should be enjoyed, we can get attached to it. Sexual pleasure. God, one of the greatest gifts God gave mankind. People think the Catholic Church thinks that sex is a bad thing. No, it's a very beautiful, good, holy thing. Such a beautiful, good, and holy thing that it needs to be protected, which is why it should only be used within marriage. But how easy can we take that good thing and become addicted to it, become attached to it, and always want more of that? And I think that's the problem with sin, is that it enslaves us. It enslaves us to things that are not bad. They're good in and of themselves, but we become attached to them. And how often now we, who are trying to live a good Christian life, who are trying to stay on the straight and narrow road, and we're in a bit of a desert, aren't we? Because we can't always have all of our bodily desires and creature comforts met, like the Israelites in the desert. They were now out of their slavery, and you know they were a little thirsty. So what? They were on the way to the promised land. And I think that's what we need to remind ourselves of sometimes. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the temptation of everything I've given up. And, oh, wasn't it nice when I was able to do X, Y, and Z and whatever. And now that I'm a Christian, there are certain things I can't do. There are certain things I have to do. And it's a bit of a desert, right? But we have to remind ourselves, but we're on the way to heaven. We've been freed from that slavery. I think the message in the readings today is that there is going to be some suffering. You know, I told you I had a very fun parish assignment in Southeast DC. It's a big African-American community. Something the preacher would do a lot that I really enjoyed. We're going to try this year. He would tell the congregation, I want you to turn to someone and tell them. So I want you to turn to someone and say, I got to suffer. Right now. No, speak it up. Turn to someone else and say, you got to suffer. Amen. Right? But turn to someone and say, but we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. Pray God. Right? I got to suffer. You got to suffer. But we are on the road to heaven if we put up with it. Now, let me tie in the gospel very quickly. By the way, you should be happy. I picked the short version of the gospel, which was still a page and a half long. The long version of the gospel, which I skipped, is three full pages. But we see the same theme in that gospel reading. There is this Samaritan woman who is just living her life and going to the well and drawing water. And in the long version of the gospel, we hear about her particular slavery to sin, which we're not going to get into right now because that would be a whole other homily. But she was enslaved to a particular sin. And Christ meets her at this well and asks for a drink. He's thirsty on a physical level. On a bodily level, he's thirsty, right? It's the same theme of thirst. So he asks her for a drink, and she's like, dude, what do you mean you want a drink? Like, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. There was a lot of bad blood between Samaritans and Jews. That's a whole other homily I'm not going to give why that was there. And it comes up again when they start arguing about where do we worship, on your mountain or this mountain, and whole nother argument there about the bad blood between the Jews and the Samaritans. But Jesus asks her for a drink, and she says, well, I can't give you a drink. But then he says to her, he says, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would give you living water. And she totally misses what he's saying, and she's like, well, what are you talking about? He said, living water. He says, if you drink this water from the well, you'll be thirsty again, but if I give you living water, you will never be thirsty again. And she's still thinking kind of pragmatically. She says, well, hey, give me some of that, and I won't have to keep doing these trips to the well. He's like, you're missing the point. It's not that kind of water. He says it's something that wells up inside of you to eternal life. What is it? It's that grace. It's that relationship with God. Christ is saying to this woman, I want you in a relationship with me, with my Father, with the entire Blessed Trinity. He is asking for her faith. He's saying to her, you are in the midst of this slavery to sin. You are just living a very humdrum life, and all you're worried about is getting water out of this well. He said, and I have something totally better in mind for you. I'm calling you out of that into a life that, yes, is going to involve some suffering, but which is going to bring you one day to heaven, well up inside of you to eternal life. Now, thank God she converted, and that's the good ending to the story. But we can imagine there were probably many others who said, you know what? I'm kind of comfortable the way I am. This thing you're talking about, eternal life and the sacrifices and the suffering, you know, I can't see eternal life. I don't know if it really exists. I don't know if there's really this place you're talking about. What I do know is that these sufferings you're talking about, they're going to come, and I don't want them. I don't want to give up the things that I currently enjoy. And that's kind of the sad part of this story, is how many of them didn't convert. How many of them said, you know what? I'm comfortable the way I am. I don't want to go through that desert. I don't want to experience any kind of suffering. I want to keep living a very comfortable life. And after all, this eternal life you're talking about, who even knows if it exists? Right? I think the message in today's readings, brothers and sisters, is we need to fight that temptation. And it is a temptation. And again, I experience it, and I'm sure many of you do too. We need to fight that temptation to think that I had it better before. Sure, perhaps on a bodily creature comfort level. But we need to fight that temptation and say, you know what, I might be in a bit of a desert, because the Christian life is going to involve suffering. But I'm in the desert on the road to heaven, on the road to the promised land. Let's not get so caught up in everything that we are giving up to be a Christian, and let's instead get caught up on everything that God is giving up, namely his Son. God gave up his own Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die for our sins so we would have access to heaven. Let's not get caught up in everything that we are doing for God, but rather give thanks to God for everything he is doing for us, drawing us constantly closer and closer to himself.